Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Financial planning can be overwhelming, regardless of market conditions. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning and tax minimization strategies. Protect your family and future generations without sacrificing our shared principles of hard work and American independence. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along here in our fourth and final hour, we're almost out of here for the weekend. I'm excited. Are you excited? Eagles game on Sunday, right? Yep. I don't know who they're playing. Hang on a second. Let me Google it, see who they're playing. I know you're yelling at me right now, but you know as well as I do. Packers. No, wait, that just happened. Falcons. No, that happened too. Oh, Saints. Yep, 1 o'clock game on Sunday. I'm fired up. Now, you know, my buddy Tim Murtaugh from the Trump campaign was on the show, and we just posted the podcast of this, and he said that Kamala Harris jinxed the team. She did, no doubt about it. That Fugazi endorsement of Kamala Harris jinxed the team. No doubt in my mind about that. We got to make sure that that doesn't happen ever again. That was a disgrazia, as my people say. Disgrazia. Pennsylvania is apparently tied, according to Brett Baer and his polls and everything else that he's watching. He says it's basically tied right now. And the Senate race is tied as well. I agree. I think this is a dead heat right now in the state. I think Trump has a slight edge. I do. But what I worry about is, well, I mean, I worry about dead people voting, obviously, because they always come out to vote in Philadelphia. What I worry about, though, more than anything, is the shenanigans the Democrats are going to try to play with mail-in ballots. And I think we all should be worried about that. But yeah, this race is effectively tied right now.
And as you see our what-if scenario, 49-42, we can say as Arizona and Nevada. Republicans right now leading in the polls in West Virginia and Montana. I leave Pennsylvania here because I want to tell the story about Pennsylvania. Incumbent Democrat Bob Casey facing Dave McCormick, the Real Clear Politics average of polls in this race has been closing in recent days. There you see it, a little bit more than 5 points. But the recent poll, the most recent, the Washington Post poll out, has this race tied at 48-48. That is a big deal. If the Republicans manage to pull off this upset win over the incumbent, go back to the map, you can see it would be 52-48. In Pennsylvania, the issue of energy is very important. Obviously fracking.
And I'll tell you something else too. The fact that it's tied is huge. It really is. I mean, that's a big advantage for the Republicans. Think about it. But there's no way the people that work in the fracking industry are going to vote for Kamala Harris. There's just no way. They're not going to do it. Anyone who works in fracking or around fracking or anything else, they're not going to vote for Kamala Harris. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. I was thinking about this from the perspective of the authenticity factor that we talk about. People are looking at Kamala Harris right now, and what they're hearing is a very, very scripted candidate. This is the big problem for Kamala Harris. Everything she does is
really
incredibly
would love
scripted.
To know what
everything. She sounds like a robot. She has one job. The job is to memorize your lines. So she gets asked, you know, what's your plan to lower the cost of living? What's your plan? Lower the cost of living. And then get ready for a salad. It's Friday night. I typically don't eat salads on Friday nights because it's pizza night. And I'm not going to. Oh, by the way, I posted a video on Instagram making my dough. That is not the pizza we're having tonight. However, that process of making the dough, I will be posting more videos. I may decide at some point to open Zioli's Pizza. Maybe like Zioli Napoli or something. Wood-fired pizza. Would you come? Would you come? I think the Zioli Army would definitely come, and we could have some pizza. Maybe I just do the show from the restaurant, you know, and then cook some pies up or hire a good pizzaiola. You got to have a good pizzaiola to actually make the pizza. It's an art, I'm telling you. There's, like, you see a lot of people, they toss it and they stretch it and all the other things they do. That's some of the stuff they do on the boardwalk, I'm just telling you right now, it's not exactly how you want to do it. You really got to handle that dough very, very delicately and carefully. But my dough doesn't have any dough mixers or, dough conditioners or anything like that. It is just pure 00 flour, water, yeast, sourdough starter, and salt. And that's why it's a beautiful process. But you can tell I'm starving. This is the time of the night, the fourth hour, where we just get really hungry and off the charts. Where was I going with this? Oh, right. I know where I was going with this. So I don't eat salads on Friday nights because I wind up eating too much pizza and then I'm full. Well, you're about to get served a gigantic word salad. So I hope you're hungry. All right. This has all the servings of vegetables you need for your entire week. Right here, this word salad from Vice President Kamala Harris. All the vegetables that the Food and Drug Administration recommends that you eat. I don't know if it's an organic word salad, but it's a word salad.
We really would love to know what your plan is to help lower the cost of living.
Right.
Yeah. First of all, thank you both for being here. And yours is a story I hear around the country as I travel. And in terms of both rightly having the right to have aspirations and dreams and ambitions for your family and working hard and finding that the American dream is, for this generation and so many recently, far more elusive than it's been. And we need to deal with that. And there are a number of ways. One is bringing down the cost of everyday necessities, including groceries.
Okay, now let's unpack that for a second here. I'm going to tell you exactly what's happening, okay? Because this is, you know, peek behind the curtain time. And I hope one of the reasons why you like the show is because I told you I don't come from a radio background. I come from a political background. I worked in politics most of my life, and then I decided, all right, I'm going to get involved in I want to be a radio talk show host. It was 2008. It was the summer in Cape May, ironically enough, right? So we're in Cape May. My wife's family rented a house for the week, and I'm sitting on the porch, and the New York Times Sunday Magazine has a profile on Rush Limbaugh. I'm getting married in August. This is June. And I read it, June or July, I read it, and I said, this is what I want to do. This is my calling. I need to do this. I had no idea, no plan, nothing. But it would take many, many, many years. I mean, that was 2008. I didn't get my full-time radio job at this radio station until 2014. It was a lot of fill-in, a lot of nights. So that's why, you know, you make your little cracks about Fridays and you make your little digs and your jabs about. It was a lot of overnights, a lot of weekends, holidays, whatever I would do it all. I never said no. I don't. It's the same thing now with Fox News. You know, if they ask me at 3 a.m. to go on, I go on. If they ask me tomorrow night to go on, I go on. It's what you do. It's what you have to do. And it's a lesson that I teach my children, too, which is that when life gives you an opportunity, you have to crush it. You have to go after it. You got to pursue it. And I remember once it was Thanksgiving and Bridget and I, we didn't have kids. We were living in the city. We went to Park down at Rittenhouse Square. We had dinner. We had Thanksgiving dinner. And then I went and did the show on Thanksgiving night. And it was great because I got to do a Black Friday preview show where we did a fake helicopter report of all of the people who were lining up to go shopping. So Tasia Claiborne was with me back then. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Those are the fun things. But to pay the bills, I was doing political consulting. I still do every now and then. You know, if somebody asks for my help, I can help. Some of the candidates that I worked with over the years, though, were disasters. They're just disasters. They had no idea how to answer a question. None. So what you would do with them is you would practice their answers and you'd have them rehearse really like an actress or an actor. And you'd sit there with the camera on So this is how a media training session would work. The camera's on, and I'm there playing the role of the interviewer. And the candidate's right there, and I say, what are you going to do to lower the cost of living? And you see the wheels in their head turning slowly as they try to remember what the line is that they have to recite. That's what Kamala Harris is doing. That's exactly what she's doing. And she literally has a binder with her. I guarantee, I don't know this, but I guarantee she does. A binder with talking points. And not talking points in the classic sense, because all candidates have talking points, you know? I mean, they all do. But I mean, scripted paragraph answers. And you can tell if you watch her, she is going through the process of trying to recite her lines. As I was watching that Oprah interview last night, I thought, I'm watching a stage play. This is a theatrical production here. She's playing the role of presidential candidate. And they've given her lines to memorize, and she's not a good actress. She's not. And she's not good at remembering her lines. Because remember, she can do a good job when she's on a teleprompter. It's the cue cards. It's the old cue cards, you know what I mean? So she's on the stage, and they got the cue cards on the side. Those are the teleprompters. Yeah, she can read that. But you can always tell when an actor doesn't know his lines. You know, I did theater when I was a kid. And in high school and college, I used to love acting. But most of the people that were actors were too wacky, so I couldn't pursue it as a career. But I've been in those situations where you forget your line. And literally what you do is you yell, line? And then they tell you what the line is. And if you ever watch fun B-roll videos or deleted scenes from movies and they show you where the actors forgot their lines or the actors start cracking up or something. But Kamala Harris is trying to recite lines here. She's an actress trying to recite lines. And she doesn't answer the question. She never actually answers the question. But knowing that context that I just gave you, I want to play it again. And you can hear exactly what I mean in terms of how she is approaching this from the perspective of a terrible candidate who does not have the ability to think on her feet, does not have a clear vision. And so her handlers have given her scripted answers. She's rehearsing them and trying to memorize them and doing a very bad job of reciting them.
I'd love to know what your plan is to help lower the cost of living.
Yeah, first of all, thank you both for being here. And yours is a story I hear around the country as I travel.
Okay, first of all, they didn't tell her a story. They asked a question. They didn't tell her a story. See, this is what I mean about her immediately beginning to go into I'm reciting my prepared talking points mode. They didn't tell her a story. All they did was ask her a question. How are you going to lower costs? That's it. But you see, when you have a candidate who's been scripted in that manner, they're going to go immediately right into what that prepared scripted statement is. And in this case, it's that. Yours is a story that I've heard as I travel around the country. Because what her handlers have said to her is, you're going to go out there and say, yeah, you know, you're going to try to empathize with them. This is what we call empathy, bad empathy. But you're going to try to put yourself in their shoes and go, oh, I hear this story. You know what it's reminiscent of? I feel your pain. The difference, though, is that Bill Clinton, say what you want about the guy. That guy was good, man. He was slick, right? He was Slick Willie. That guy was good. He could go out there and he could fake a tear. Oh, he could fake empathy like the best of them. So when he went out there and he's like, I feel your pain, you know, he'd bite his lower lip and he'd shake his finger. He'd be like, oof. I mean, he was the biggest BS artist on the planet, but he was so good at it. Got to admire it. If there was a Hall of Fame, like a BS Hall of Fame, he would definitely be in there. No doubt about it. His ability to just tell everybody what they wanted to hear and make them feel like he really cared about them was so good. And then there's George H.W. Bush checking his freaking watch during the debate. It's just, you know, you're shaking your head going, oh, man, oh, man. So Kamala Harris is trying to do that. She's trying to do this empathy play here. And I hope you find this interesting. I love unpacking this. I'm looking at this like a political science professor right now. And I've literally been in these situations with these bad candidates. But this is what she's doing. She's trying to empathize with the people asking the question.
Yeah. First of all, thank you both for being here. And yours is a story I hear around the country as I travel. And in terms of both rightly...
Now, she's trying to remember, okay? So she's now going through the process in her mind of trying to remember what the lines are. So the first thing is empathy. They're sitting there around the room with her. They're going, Kamala, Madam Vice President, you have to empathize with people. So you need to go out there and say, I feel your pain. But you can't say, I feel your pain, because Bill Clinton already used that. So you got to say, yours is a story I hear as I travel around the country. And that's going to make it sound like you really care about them and you're listening to people, okay? Then you're going to go out there and say why they're justified in asking the question. So you can hear the process in her mind as she literally is now trying to remember her lines. And it's so bad.
Having the right to have aspirations and countries
of travel. Back that up a little bit, Matt.
And in terms of both rightly having the right to have aspirations and dreams.
Rightly having the right to have both aspirations and dreams? What the hell does that mean? That's the cucumber, the tomato on the word salad. That, you know what that is? That's the chickpeas. You never want a chickpea on your salad. Don't lie to me. Stop it. I know you. You don't. You get a salad and there's chickpeas on there. You're like shoving them aside or burying them under the lettuce. You know what I mean? That's what that is on this word salad. What is it? The rightly have the right to ambitions. And I'll tell you what it is. She forgot her lines. She's scrambling, and so she's just word vomiting, hoping to fill the gaps and fill the space. This is a bad candidate. This is a bad, bad candidate. Honestly, at this point, they should just replace her with artificial intelligence. They should get an animatronic Kamala Harris to just go out there, load it up with AI, and just let her rip, because she can't do this. It takes her a series of seconds to get to where her actual answer is. Think about it from this perspective, right? So here we go. Just back it up like 10 seconds, Matt. All right, perfect. All right, here we go. Here's what I mean.
And in terms of both rightly having the right to have aspirations and dreams and ambitions for your family and working hard and finding that the American dream is, for this generation and so many recently, far more elusive than it's been. And we need to deal with that. And there are a number of ways.
One, okay, so it takes her a good 30 seconds of mumbo jumbo word salad radishes on this, throwing radishes, chickpeas, maybe a little egg. It's at this point now, this salad, this tossed salad has become a gigantic chef salad, okay, with all the accoutrements on it, to get to her point, because, again, they're trying. She doesn't have empathy. She doesn't give a damn about people. So they have to, and you can't fake it, all right? You can't fake it. She doesn't care about people, so she's got to go out there and go, yeah, you know, yours is a story I hear a lot as I travel around the country, and you have the right to rightly want and the ambition, and this is, it's all packaged nonsense. And she's terrible at delivering it. And then she finally gets into what her plan is, and the plan makes no sense, and the plan's not concrete either. The plan is a bunch of socialist BS, but just dissecting this, you can understand how terrible this candidate truly is. This, by the way, is the top story of the day today, brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, joining me right now to talk about a very incredibly important issue surrounding the Fourth Amendment, your privacy rights. I mean, this is a huge deal, a big deal, something we've been talking about on this show for years. I want to welcome to the show my friend, New Jersey Assemblyman Michael Ingannemort. Assemblyman, great to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Rich. As they say, longtime listener, first-time guest, you and the Zioli Army are crushing it. Proud to be here.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. So this idea of your bill now, which is great, to prohibit warrantless DNA collection, like baby blood spots, has passed a committee. This is a very important step becoming law. So let's set the stage here and explain right now what's happening, what's been happening, and what led you, Mike, to sponsor this bill.
Absolutely, Rich. All right, we're going to get a little wonky here, but it's important to understand the process. The way it works in New Jersey is a baby is born here. The doctor takes a blood sample and tests for 61 different genetic disorders. All right, that is the way it works today in New Jersey. What happens next, at least until recently, is that the state of New Jersey kept those blood samples for 23 years. 23 years. If you have a 23-year-old, the state of New Jersey has his or her blood sample on file somewhere. And the state was giving those blood samples to law enforcement as part of criminal investigations. Now, there are two parts here that are concerning. First of all, 23 years, really? Why do they need blood samples? You might say at all, but right. Especially 23 years, especially, Rich, since the parent never gave permission to the state to have those blood samples to begin with. The attorney general in New Jersey was sued over this. He basically has come down to 2 years in most cases, and that is going to continue to wind its way through the courts. My concern and the purpose of my legislation, however, is to ensure that so long as the state has any blood samples for any period of time, they need to be protected behind the power of a warrant. We want police to have all the tools at their disposal to solve crimes, but there are tools that are the correct ones, the constitutionally correct ones to do that job, and I'm talking about a warrant.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the Fourth Amendment. That's the requirement. That's what it has to be. No question about it. And Assemblyman Gannamore, are there reasons why, I mean, have abuses occurred that have led you to say we have to codify this in law? Because it really should be obvious that you would need a warrant. But I'm assuming then right. There's some instances, particularly in New Jersey, that you know of that led you to say we got to pass a law here.
There absolutely are. There have been a few criminal cases that have gone through the process and the police utilized blood samples from babies to connect their parent or a relative or whomever to a crime. Okay. That caught the attention of regular New Jersey moms and dads like myself. And a couple of them, a couple of years ago, stepped up to the plate and actually sued the state of New Jersey alongside some exceptional public interest attorneys at the Institute for Justice, who you're familiar with them, Rich. They're always fighting for our civil liberties and constitutional rights. So really what put this on the public radar, I would say, and certainly my radar, is once those courageous families stood up, took the state to court, and at least so far, this is still going on, got the attorney general to bend. Not far enough, in my opinion, and that's the purpose of this legislation.
And this is bipartisan. I mean, you're a Republican. You're up in North Jersey in the 24th Legislative District, Assemblyman Gannamore, but this is a bipartisan issue. I know that you've got support on both sides of the aisle for this, which is good, because it's unbelievable to me to think that the authorities, law enforcement, could just get a blood sample from a child, from a baby, from even an adult if they have it for 23 years without a warrant, without going to a judge, without explaining to a judge and showing probable cause as the United States Constitution requires. It's amazing. And I'm thinking to myself now, I mean, I've got three kids. You've got children, Mike. How many kids do you have?
I'm up to three.
You're up to three. We're tied.
I'm done with three. Let me put it that way.
Well, by the way, you're lucky, though. The Zioli house just had a lice invasion. We got it cleaned up. We got it cleared. But I pray that the Gannamore family is safe from lice. That's all I'm going to tell you, buddy, because we had to do a lot of washing towels, sheets, shampooing hair. I was walking around with a shower cap for 2 days. It was an ugly situation.
Not good. Well, listen, Rich, what you said at the top is that this legislation is bipartisan, and it absolutely is. I'm a Republican. I come at this issue as a constitutional conservative. How other legislators come to this issue, that's up to them. I'm just glad to have their support. We got Republicans on this bill. We got Democrats on this bill. And the point I want to make clear is that we want law enforcement in New Jersey and across this country to have all the tools they need at their disposal to solve crimes. We back the blue. We support our police. But police and non-police all recognize there are correct and constitutional ways to go about that. You mentioned the Fourth Amendment. Basic privacy is what's at stake here. And I have not yet come across a police officer who doesn't agree and say, yeah, a warrant is appropriate here. If I'm going to access your child's blood sample, the least I could do is get a warrant.
Absolutely. I think you said it beautifully, Mike. We support law enforcement. and we support the Constitution, and we have to follow the rule book, and the Constitution is the rule book, and it works out for everybody's benefit that way, and we have to secure and protect those liberties, no doubt about it, because, you know, leaving individual officers aside, there are agencies out there that would love to capitalize on this for a lot of different benefits, and not just simply to solve a crime. We have to remember that, too. You know, we don't want the government being able to access our data for more nefarious purposes in the future, or something, you know, regarding healthcare or whatever. There's a process. We just need to follow it. That's constitutional. And I applaud you for sponsoring this legislation. I think this is an excellent, excellent move. I think a lot of people listening right now are shocked to even know that this is a problem in New Jersey, where the state stores blood for 23 years, and then right now it could be accessed without a warrant. You mentioned earlier that storage of 23 years may be changing. Did I hear you correctly?
That's correct. So as a result of these courageous families suing the state of New Jersey, and again, this is ongoing, this has not been settled yet, the Attorney General in New Jersey has changed that time period from 23 years to 2 years for blood samples that test negative on the battery of tests, and 10 years for blood samples that test positive. That's a separate debate, and we can debate whether those time periods are too long or not. But so long as they exist, I think our first order of business is to protect that very private information. We want to make sure it's behind the power of a warrant. And by the way, Rich, you basically pointed out that we're talking about this in the context of criminal investigations, but who's to say it won't be some state bureaucracy down the line? The Department of Health might want to take a look at the blood samples of all New Jerseyans under a certain age. Maybe the Department of Children and Families wants to take a look at those blood samples. Who knows?
Right.
Your imagination can run wild with the various bureaucracies down in Trenton. Heck, I'm a legislator, and I don't know where these blood samples are stored. So we need to understand exactly why the state of New Jersey is hanging on to these for so long. I think we can bring that number down even further, if not to zero, because the purpose of this test, once again, is just to let that new parent who became a parent just moments prior to the blood sample being taken, to let them know if their child should have any one of 61 diseases. That's important information to know on the spot. Beyond that, not necessary.
And can parents say, I want those samples destroyed, I don't want you to keep them for 10 years? Do they have
They cannot. They cannot, Rich. No, there's no opt-out here. That option does not exist.
Well, that's the next bill you got to sponsor, because I think parents should have the right to be able to say, I don't want the state storing this data. I mean, I have the data. Now, what do you need to hold on to it for? I know the answer. Why do you need to keep hanging on to it? But you're right. The first step is, as long as they are hanging on to it, we have to ensure the constitutional protections, the warrant process, the Fourth Amendment is upheld. I applaud you, Assemblyman, and I applaud the Institute for Justice for getting involved in this and those courageous families. While I have you, I want to switch gears to something else that you've been very, very vocal on. Assemblyman Michael Ingatamort joins me. He's a Republican legislator up in North Jersey, the 24th Legislative District, but a guy I've known for a very, very long time. We were in the trenches together in New Jersey politics, so it's great to have him on the show, finally, as a state assemblyman. You have been very outspoken about trafficking, and you are looking right now to toughen anti-trafficking laws. We know we have this wide open southern border. We know that it's a mess, and we know that New Jersey is a corridor state where you've got the turnpike and people coming and going. It's a corridor for drugs, and my question is it also a corridor for human smuggling?
The answer is yes. I'm sorry to say, the answer is yes. Yes, New Jersey is a corridor state. Yes, New Jersey, like all 50 states, is a border state nowadays, with our porous southern border, as you said. And human trafficking exists in every state in the country. It exists in all 21 counties in New Jersey. Doesn't matter the makeup or what you think of that county or what it looks like, human trafficking is here. And that's of two types, Rich: sex trafficking and labor trafficking. Both types are pervasive. So I've introduced a number of bills to crack down on this heinous practice that is going on across our country. The first is to ensure that those who benefit financially from human trafficking, not just the Johns, not just the people, you know, directly involved in these nefarious things that are happening, but the guys behind the computer screen who are preying on children and benefiting financially. They're just as guilty in my mind, and they should be held to the letter of the law. So that's one of the bills I've introduced. The other is the state version of the Federal Kids Online Safety Act. This is critical legislation to ensure age verification for children who might want to be accessing websites where they can get themselves into trouble. There's plenty of awful things on the internet, not least among them, predators. Predators who are preying on children, luring children, recruiting children into awful trafficking situations. Age verification is an important way to try to prevent that possibility for kids across our state.
Yeah, and how many, I think the number's 320,000 children are unaccounted for in this country right now? I mean, that's an astonishing number.
It's criminal. It's criminal, Rich. The Biden administration has lost track of more than 320,000 unaccompanied migrant children who crossed the southern border, came into the United States. We have no idea where they are today. If they have a court date, they certainly aren't expected to show up for that court date in immigration court to sort out their affairs. These children, I'm sorry to tell you, they are top of the list for these predators that I'm talking about. They are prime targets to be recruited into a life of trafficking, sex trafficking or labor trafficking. It is just awful. It is criminal that the Biden administration has lost track of 320,000 children whose fate is not looking very good.
It's just I mean, the New York Times wrote a story about this. This is not some conspiracy theory that, you know, exists in the right wing echo chamber, as the corporate media likes to call it. I mean, this is a real thing. It just doesn't get enough attention. Mike, listen,
that's right.
Where can people connect with you? I think you're going to get a lot of fans right now. It's wonderful to have a constitutional conservative in the New Jersey legislature. I wish there were a lot more of you, but I'm grateful you're there. And I know you're a young guy with a bright future ahead. So you're going to be a regular guest on this show, because this was your first opportunity. And I got to tell you, you did great. I mean, really, truly, you did great.
Rich, I appreciate it. These issues are so black and white. They speak for themselves. So I have the easy job. You're doing the hard work of sharing this message with your listeners, any of whom can reach me on Twitter at Mike and Ganimort, Facebook, Assemblyman Mike and Ganimort. Those are good ways to go about it, and appreciate any support, particularly from New Jerseyans, for some of these critical pieces of legislation that are going to have committee hearings over the next few months.
Assemblyman Mike and Ganimort, thanks so much for joining us in Philadelphia. We appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Rich. Talk to you soon.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along here, before we get out of here for the weekend and turn it over to the great one, Mark Levin, I'm sure you're wondering, as I am, why taxpayers are funding Cuomo's legal bills. The Love Gov. You resign because of sexual harassment charges, but under the law, guess who pays his defense? You do. I do. I mean, we don't, because we don't live in New York, thank God. But yeah, New Yorkers do. But this guy, he's going to, there's a rumor now Cuomo may run for mayor. I hope it's true. Oh, please. I would love this guy to be mayor of New York. I would love it. It would be the greatest thing to happen. The city's going to be a hellhole. It doesn't matter. But I bet you Cuomo would be tougher on crime than at least Eric Adams is. I bet you Cuomo would. But either way, just for pure entertainment fodder for this radio show, I hope he runs for mayor, and I hope he wins, because that would be great. That would guarantee me another 4 years of having material. Because he'd have these long-winded press conferences where we talk about how at Times Square we're all trying very hard, but how hard and difficult it is and the mountains we have to overcome and the BS that pours out of that guy's mouth. Because you know what? He's another one who's good. He's like, I talked about Clinton in the last segment being a good BSer. Cuomo's good too, isn't he? Oh, that guy's slick, man. He's also good. He goes out there and he's like, I understand exactly why New Yorkers are feeling the pinch. But speaking of pinch, I pinched a lot of ladies and I wasn't supposed to, and now I'm getting sued. But you got to pay for it. This is the...
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Allsperity Private Wealth. Your retirement dreams can become reality if you have a plan. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. We provide custom solutions to help you navigate through your finances today while helping you build a strong financial portfolio for tomorrow. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA SIPC, advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazing. So this, Andrew Cuomo is, he's also the nursing home killer. And I want to point that out too, because I don't want it to be lost on anybody that Andrew Cuomo is the nursing home killer. And he is an absolute assassin. But Andrew Cuomo resigned as governor in 2021 amid allegations of sexual harassment that he vehemently denied. Since then, the state of New York has spent more than $25 million on his lawyers. More than half. Remember, I told you the lawyers always win. I tell you this all the time. The lawyers always win. More than half the money has gone toward defending Cuomo and several top aides in four lawsuits filed by three women, and the lawyers have fought hard. So the aggressive defense from Cuomo, why are the taxpayers of New York State paying a former governor's legal bills because of a state law, officially Public Officers Law 17? They're doing the same thing in Camden, New Jersey right now. Dana Redd, who was the mayor, got indicted. And the Camden City Council actually voted, because there was a cap on how much they would pay in legal defense. Camden City Council actually voted to raise that cap to cover her defense bills. Oh, it's a good racket being a corrupt public official. Oh, it's great. You could be corrupt, you can make money, and then if you get in trouble, you know what? The taxpayers got to pay to defend you. It is unbelievable. Isn't that something? It's like you spend your whole life in government just enriching yourself. You finally get pinched, and then the taxpayers pay your legal bills. What a country. What a country, am I right? You can't make this up. And so Cuomo, that was not a Kamala Harris gulp, by the way. I just had a little bit of water here. But I've been talking for, what, 3.5 hours, 4 hours? I'm so ready to get out of here, as you can imagine. First of all, I'm here. It's Friday. I'm in studio. The great lice crisis is over in the Zioli house, but nevertheless. Anyway, this state law, officially Public Officers Law 17, which states that New York will provide for the defense in a case involving any alleged act that occurred while the employee was acting within the scope of his public employment or duties. All the people screaming about presidential immunity. Do you hear them screaming about this? No, you don't. How come? See, the presidential immunity, but the Supreme Court ruled, you would think it was the worst. And we've heard all kinds of scenarios, but Trump's going to hire SEAL Team 6. Want to hire them, just go out, have them start killing people, axe killing sprees, whatever he wants to do, no penalties. In this case now, the governor of New York, the taxpayers pay for his alleged sexual harassment legal bills. This is amazing. The law was meant to prevent government employees at any level, from high-ranking aides in the executive chamber to rank-and-file workers, from being bankrupted if they're sued for something that happens while they're on the job. Isn't this like giving Cuomo's lawyers a blank check, the New York Times asks. In the eyes of the lawyers for the plaintiffs, yes. They contend that the state's funding of Cuomo's legal defense has allowed his team to be overzealous and intrusive in the issuing of subpoenas. Wow. Don't you love that? That's great. That's hysterical to me. Yeah, listen, I know you think I acted inappropriate. How do we define inappropriate? Well, I mean, was I hugging and touching? I'm Italian. It's what I do. Either way, my attorneys will figure that out, and you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. Do you remember when the lesser Cuomo would have him on all the time? And then he would kick it off for Don Lemon. My favorite handoff ever was when the lesser Cuomo, when Cuomo got indicted, his brother, right? So the governor gets indicted. The lesser's on CNN. And he hands it over to Don Lemon. And they don't mention, like the lesser doesn't mention anything about Andrew. And then he goes on with Don Lemon, and the two of them are like, I love you, brother. Love you, man. Love you. Cuomo signs off. Don Lemon proceeds to open his show with, Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York has been indicted today on sexual harassment. And it just went, oh, man, holy cow, man. Or resigned. I don't know if he was indicted. He resigned. I guess I got to make sure I'm saying that correctly. He should be indicted, but I think he just resigned. Anyway, this is Don Lemon. Speaking of Don Lemon here, then this is.
You're not, as you said, you're not a Democrat.
Not a Democrat, not a Republican. I'm an independent. I have some political leanings that are conservative and some that are liberal.
But you're not a Donald Trump fan.
I'm not a Donald Trump fan. I'm a fan of the truth. And I think Donald Trump lies a lot. Just like he is.
You say, all right, so you're not a Donald Trump fan? Well, I'm not saying I'm a fan. I'm just, I want the truth. The guy's a friggin' liar. Don Lemon, this question I hope it gets sucked into, I hope this answer, for your sake, gets sucked into a black hole. Because your hatred of Donald Trump is so obvious, you cannot hide it. You just simply can't hide it. I covered the press conference earlier in the show today about the Secret Service and the attempted assassination on former President Donald Trump. I just wanted, in case you're just joining us, and I know you might be sitting in traffic right now Friday night, but I wanted to just update you on that just in case you didn't hear it earlier in the show. And always
go
back and podcast.
Hyperdynamic threat environment. The mission of the Secret Service is clear. We cannot afford to fail. After reviewing the planning, event details, and coordination with partner agencies regarding the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump on July 13th. Our mission assurance review is nearing its completion.
Nearing.
As I've said, this was a failure on the part of the United States Secret Service. It's important that we hold ourselves accountable for the failures of July 13th, and that we use the lessons learned to make sure that we do not have another failure like this again.
You know, what he doesn't do, though, which is interesting, is he doesn't say when this whole process is going to be done, this whole investigation. The Secret Service did not give clear guidance or direction to officers.
The Secret Service did not give clear guidance or direction to our local law enforcement partners. There were communication deficiencies between law enforcement personnel at the site. For example, the Secret Service did not co-locate its security room with local law enforcement. There was an over-reliance on mobile devices, resulting in information being siloed. For example, at approximately 18:10 local time, Secret Service informed personnel that local police were addressing an issue at the 3 o'clock of the outer perimeter. At approximately 18:10 local time, via phone call, the Secret Service security room calls the counter-sniper response agent reporting an individual on the roof of the AGR building. That vital piece of information was not relayed over the Secret Service radio network.
Do you believe that? It wasn't relayed over the Secret Service radio network. One of the reporters kept asking him, why didn't you guys do a sweep? Why wasn't there a counter-sniper team in there? And by the way, He says employees will be held accountable. Do you believe that? Do you think anyone's going to be held accountable? Do you think, really, honestly, I'm just asking the opinion. Do you think anyone's going to be held accountable?
So in today's hyperdynamic threat environment, the mission of the Secret Service is clear.
I just don't believe it. I don't believe that anyone is going to be held accountable. He said he has not asked anyone to retire. I have not asked anybody to retire, he says.
Represent. And what level of punishment, again, they may face?
So, again, I can't comment on this. This is
right.
a personnel matter that is still pending. What I will tell you is that I have not asked for anybody to retire. That was not. I know some of that was reported. That is false. And with respect to the disciplinary process, it will be handled in accordance with our table of penalties. That will be led by the Office of Integrity in coordination with our Office of Professional Responsibility.
Let me tell you something. No one is going to lose their jobs over this. That's not how it works. You got to understand that. The bureaucracy protects itself, always. The bureaucracy protects them. And you know what's amazing? Is that the president, Donald Trump, apparently now has full presidential Secret Service protection equivalent to the president, but they still didn't sweep the perimeter of the golf course. And he had no explanation for that. None whatsoever. All right, as we get out of here on a Friday, I got to remind you, I mean, I've had so much fun with this today during the show, but at the first, Biden at his first full cabinet meeting in 11 months, begins his cabinet meeting, first of all, looking white as a ghost, like he's a, it's like a spirit Halloween costume of what a sickly looking president is. Oof. Begins by turning the meeting over to Dr., and you always have to say that by law, Dr. Jill Biden. I kid you not. Take a listen.
Jill is here today. Heard that clapping. It wasn't for me when we came in. Here across previous administrations, first ladies have attended these meetings for specific reasons. This is the first time Jill has joined us, and it goes to show how important the issue is, which she's about to speak to the both of us. Today, at the top of our meeting, Jill's going to give an update on the House initiative, White House initiative, to fundamentally change the approach and the fund, how we approach and fund women's health services. So I'd like to turn it over to Jill and for any comments she has. And it's all yours, kid.
Thank you. You know, sometimes the White House surprises you.
Wow. That's it. First cabinet meeting in 11 months. Turns it right over to Jill. Right over to Jill. All right, have a great weekend. Thanks so much for being part of the show all week. We appreciate it. If you missed any of it, get the podcast. Please like the podcast. Rate and review it, but only say nice things, please. Only say nice things. That's Mama Zioli's rule. And keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zioli, Instagram at Zioli Show. And let's connect. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy it. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.